Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Samach Tes, and we will begin on Daf Samach Ches Amud Beis, 7 lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Nachman. Quickly to review, we had discussed in the previous shiur what is known as Iska, that an Iska arrangement is mutter. And to quickly describe what an Iska arrangement is that we have two individuals. One person is making the investment, he's giving the money, and the other person is doing the work. And the person, and the issue is, if the person who's giving the money is lending the money with an expectation of profit, we have a ribis issue. On the other hand, if he gives the money without any profit, he wants profit. So how do we resolve it? So we have what's known as an iska, that recognizes that half the money that's being given to the managing partner, to the one that's going to be running the business, is to be viewed as a halva, as a loan, and the other half is to be viewed as a pikadon that he could work with. Now, the half that is a pikadon is subject to all the halachas of pikadon that we discussed at great length at the beginning of the Masechta. If there's an oinus, something unavoidable happens, the person holding that money will not be held responsible. Ahava, you have to return no matter what. So the way the halacha looks at these two halves is that the half that I, the investor, gave as ahava is my money. I'm going to get it back no matter what. The half that's the pikadon is the managing partner's money. And he has to return it if nothing unforeseeable happens. And they agree between themselves to divide the profits and divide the loss. But as the Mishnah and the Gemara in the previous year, and that's what we pick up in today's year, emphasize, were we to leave it this way, we have a very big problem. Because what's happening here is that the reason the partner is working with the Bikadin that I left with him is because I gave him a halva, which is ribis. Because in payment for the money I loaned him, he's working with the money. That's a pikadon. And that would be a real concern. So the only way to avoid that concern is that on top of the arrangement that they're going to share the loss and profits that happened because of this investment, the person who's supplying the money is also going to pay this managing partner for his services. And that obviates the ribis concern. The Gemara at length discussed at the previous shiur what is considered a wage. And that's where our Gemara begins. Amar Rav Nachman, Halach Rabbi Yehuda. The Halach is like Rabbi Yehuda, that just paying him a fig, or just paying him fish sauce that he can use as a dip, is enough of a payment. Halacha, says the Gemara, is also like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that if what we gave as the investment were goats or sheep, so the whey and the pieces of wool that fell off because the animal rubs itself against the thorn is also enough of a payment. And furthermore, halacha of Shimon Gamliel, that we also learned at the end of the shiur yesterday, of Shimon Gamliel's opinion is that if you don't have to pay for the child that you give for the investment, because the child is going to go by itself along with its mother. So basically what the Gemara starts, and we're going to discuss this more in a couple of moments, is that we always are very lenient, and any minimal wage is considered an acceptable wage. Says the Gemara the following incident. B'nei Rav Ilish, Nafak Alai Hushtara, Rav Ilish passed away. And when his children went through his papers that he left over, they found a shtar that said in it the following. The Kasabe Palgaba Erga Palgaba Hefsid. Rav Ilish had obviously entered into an arrangement that somebody invested money with Rav Ilish, and the shtar, the document between the person who was making the investment and Rav Ilish, who was the one that's going to manage the business, was that they should be half the profit and half the losses should be shared. Amar Rava. So Rav Ilish's children brought this document to Rava and made the following observation. Rav Ilish, Rav made the following observation. Rav Ilish gave Rabahu. Rav Ilish was a great individual. Visural inshallah have a safi. And he would have never entered into an illegal agreement. And here we have a fundamental problem with this agreement. Because the agreement only speaks about them sharing the profit and the loss, but the agreement doesn't talk about Rav Ilish's salary. And we keep on speaking that an essential part of an ISKA arrangement is that the person who's managing the business also has to get a wage. It's missing from this document. Now, the Rishonim make a very interesting observation. The Gemara says that Rav said it's inconceivable that Rav Ilish would have entered into this agreement, which would have been an agreement that the person who's getting the money would have not gotten the money properly because he didn't pay a wage. We know, asked the Rishonim, the Gemara is going to discuss this more later in the parak, that ribis is not only an isser for the malva who lends the money, but even for the borrower who pays the ribis, it's asser. So Mefarshim asks, why is Rava only concerned that Rav Ilish wouldn't have participated in an arrangement that would cause him to give ribis to someone else? As if the entire concern is about the person receiving the ribis. Don't we know that the person who pays the ribis also is Oivan Avera? Why is Rava not concerned with that? So some Rishonim say that that's actually the way to understand the Gemara. Rava was only speaking about part of the concern, but certainly he meant Rav Ilish also would have done the wrong thing. However, other Rishonim say very bechiddush. They say as follows. If you think about it, the din, the halacha, that a loiva who pays ribis is also doing an avera, it's hard to understand. It's bad enough that Nebuch, he has to borrow money, and that he can't afford, he doesn't have enough money, and he has to borrow the money on interest. But he's in that hole. Why is he even avera when he pays the interest? What's the answer to the question? Because the Torah said so. Say to Rishonim, where did the Torah say that he's over the avera? Only when it's ribis ktsutza. Ribis daraisa. Here we're clearly not referring to a situation of ribis daraisa. So the concept that even the loiva is over the avera doesn't apply here. A big chiddush. The only time the loiva is over the avera of ribis is when it's ribis daraisa. And there are two variations of this answer, of this approach. One variation is, unless it's real ribis daraisa, ribis tzutza, the loiva doesn't have an avera. Others say that's a little too far. That only in this situation of iska, which is really very far removed, and we're going to use this concept again, from really being ribis, there the loiva is not oivan avera. But in any other situation of ribis, even if it's not ribis ktsutza, the real ribis daraisa, the loiva is certainly oivan avera. But that's why here Rav was concerned of Ilish was participating, but not that he was actually doing the avera of ribis. So Rav says, and this is the way Tosfos explains the Gemara, we have to reinterpret this document that it should avoid a ribis payment. Gavra Rabba Hava, Rav Ilish was a great individual, Bisur Lo Inshallah Hava Safi, he would have never participated in a legal transaction. So Manavshach, Ipal Gaba Agar, Trey Tlav Siba Hefsid, either we have to interpret this document to say that the profits they both share, but if there's a loss, then the investor will not take a half of the loss, he'll take a third of the loss, and that's the wages Rav Ilish was receiving, that he only was going to be responsible, he's going to be responsible for less of the loss, or Ipag Behefsid, if they're going to share the losses, then the wage Rav Ilish will receive is that he won't get a half of the profit, and get two-thirds of the profit. And as Tosfos explains, either at the beginning when this transaction, when this arrangement was made, they agreed that they'll follow one of these two approaches, or they agreed that at a certain point in the business cycle, they're going to agree that this is the way they're going to share the profits and the losses. It won't be straight 50-50. Amar Rav Kahana, Amrit L'Shmatzah Kamed Rav Zvid Min Adah, I repeated this entire issue to Rav Zvid Min Adah. Vamali, he said, what's the big issue? Then Rav Ilish, Toivel Imai B'Tzir Hava. And as Mefarshim explained, if we're going to follow the opinion of Yehuda, that a wage could be just so minimal, just allowing the person who gets the money to use the fish source of the investor, so there's no reason to write it into the shtar. It's so insignificant. So maybe the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. And Rav Ilish did get a wage. You know what the wage he got was? That he could use the fish source. And since it's so insignificant, they didn't bother putting it into the shtar. Because didn't we begin today's shir saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? Amrei, they said that when we began the shir today saying that halacha like Rabbi Yehuda, it means lav hilchos itmar. It didn't mean to say that that's the way we paskin. On the contrary, el shita itmar. What the Gemara meant to say was that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yitzhak Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel all follow the same approach. But not that that's the approach which is accepted la halacha. And says the Gemara Hachadam Mistabra, that's what makes sense to understand the Gemara, Rav Nachman, the Gemara we began today's shiur with, that that's the way to understand the Gemara. Dilei Tei Mahachi, if we won't understand it that way, so we have a fundamental question. Lamali Lamech Shalamei Ma'alocha Alocha. Why does the Gemara have to start, Halach Krab Yehuda, Halach Krab Yitzhak Yehuda, Halach Krab Shimon Gamliel? Wouldn't it be enough to say, Halach Krab Yehuda, that we follow the opinion of Yehuda, who is the Mekel Mekula, who is the most lenient, that just fish sauce, or just a groigris is enough of a wage? Why did the Gemara have to go out of its way in saying all three of these opinions? What the Gemara meant to say, says the Gemara, is just the opposite. These three opinions are all following the same line of reasoning, that a minimal wage is also a wage. And Rav Nachman is pointing out that they're all in the same opinion. But we don't paskin like that. We paskin you have to give a real wage. And in fact, this is the source that, and we've seen this in other places in Shas, that the rule is that whenever we see a Gemara, that the Gemara says there are a number of opinions that are sort of all consistent, it means to say that they all are consistent, but we don't paskin like them. Why? So it doesn't really seem to make sense. We say halacha, halacha, and then we're not paskining that way. So I saw two pshatim in the Rishonim how to understand it. One pshat is that the Gemara means to say is that these three, using our Gemara as the example, these three Manda Amrim have the same opinion. But it's only they who hold that way. Everyone else disagrees. And we follow the Roy, we follow the majority. Or another pshat that I saw is that the Gemara was trying to speak sort of in a shorthand way. That they follow the same opinion, but we don't hold like them. Now ask the Gemara a different question. Why will be the halacha that, again, we keep on emphasizing that what's crucial in an ISK arrangement is that the managing partner should get a wage. So the Gemara now discusses a situation where the wage that they give, that the agreement that they made, the investor and the worker, was that if there's profits more than 33%, all the profits above 33% should go to the worker. Is that considered a wage? And Rav says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Maisa Shlish B'Schach, if they agreed between themselves that if there's profit more than 33%, Hareza Mutter, that's considered a wage. As Taisus, we've discussed so many times the machloikis of the Chachamim Rabbi Yehuda about Sad Echad B'Ribis. If there's a question if there's going to be Ribis or not, is that considered Ribis? And here, isn't this a situation of Tzad Echad B'Ribis? We don't know if there's going to be such a significant profit. So how could we rely on that? Answers Taisus, that since it's very likely, we're referring to an arrangement where it's very likely that there's going to be such a significant profit, that's why it's not considered Tzad Echad B'Ribis. Another teretz, and it's along the lines of something we spoke earlier, that since we're referring it to an ISK arrangement, which is really not Ribis, any form of wage, according to Rav, is good enough. Shmuel Amar disagrees. Because Shmuel is concerned with Rav's opinion. Because says Shmuel, La Matzah Maitzah Shlish, and what happens if we won't have profit of a third? Yelich Lebeis Rekod, will it turn out that the worker goes home with nothing? And we've been learning it's so important that he get a wage. Elam Shmuel, Kartzle Dinner. He makes up that he's going to get paid. So here too we have a number of pshat, I don't understand Shmuel. Most Rishonim hold that what Shmuel is saying is that we tell him, if there's this profit, great. And if you're not going to get this profit, then I'll give you a dinner. So Mefarshim ask, we've been learning so many different scenarios, so many different opinions of what is considered an acceptable wage. We never saw the opinion of a dinner. How do we understand the Gemara? So the Gemara says, from here we see that anything that both sides agree to will be a fair wage is good enough. And that's what Shmuel is saying. If both parties agree that dinner will be the wage, that's fine. Ask the Gemara, V'sover Rav ain't quite certainly dinner. Does Rav disagree? And saying, just saying that if there's going to be a lot of profit, you'll get above the third of profit, is good enough. V'amar Rav, Resh Igla L'Ptuma. Rav says, telling the worker that you'll get the head of the calf is a good wage. My Rav, isn't Rav referring to a situation, asked the Gemara, Domalei Moshe Shlish B'Scharcha, where the investor said, if there's any profit above a third, you'll get it. And still, he has to get the head if there isn't that profit, says the Gemara Loi. That's not what it means. Either the Kamalei, he gave the worker a choice. He says, E Moshe Shlish, you could either choose to take as your wage if there's more than a third profit, or you could choose to take as a wage Resh Igla L'Ptuma, the head of the calf. Ibeis Eima, Ki Kama Rav, Moshe Shlish B'Scharcha. Another way of understanding Rav's opinion, says the Gemara, is that when did Rav say this special leniency, that just saying that there's more than a third profit, that's good enough to be considered a wage? If you're going this Lebeim L'Ledei. In a situation where the worker anyway has his own animal. Dami Inshi, because people say, Gvilaturi, Gvilaturi. If you're feeding the animal, it's no big deal to feed him more. And the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara is very nice. They say as follows. In a situation where there's a business arrangement that we're getting into, where you're going to supply the animal, we discussed this yesterday, you're going to supply the animal, and I'm going to supply the work. If not that you supplied me with an animal, I would have never done this job. And therefore, since I'm only doing this job because we entered into this new business arrangement, I have to get a significant wage that it should be considered acceptable and it shouldn't be an issue of ribis. But in a situation where I have animals anyway, and I'm working with those animals anyway, so I don't need that much of a wage that it should make it worthwhile for me to get into this arrangement. I'm working with animals anyway. That's where Rav says that even a minimal wage, what is considered a minimal wage, that if there's going to be more than a third profit, I, the worker, keep all of the profits, is good enough. Because it doesn't take a lot to make me happy, because I'm anyway going to have to work with the animals. Says the Gemara, interesting story. Rabbi Elazar ben Hanania zoven behema. Rabbi Elazar ben Hanania bought an animal, v'yavlei l'risa v'fatamlei. And he entered into the iska arrangement, where he bought the animal, he found somebody who's going to raise the animal, and they agreed that they're going to share the losses and the profit. So as we keep on saying, you have to give salary. So the salary was that the worker would get the head of the animal. And they also will share the profits and the losses. So the wife of this worker said to him, if here, you didn't put any money into the business. You're just a partner because you are supplying the work. And you're still getting the whole head. If you would actually become a worker, then you would even be deserving more. And you'd probably get the entire tail. And in those times, the tail was considered a very good choice cut of the animal because they didn't have a problem with cholesterol. And that had a lot of fat. Ozel zovim baday. So the worker now comes to Rabbi Elazar and says, let's buy an animal together. Fine. Now they're dividing the animal. And Polig Neymal Yisrael. And Rabbi Elazar is dividing everything. And he's giving him half the tail. Amalei, Tal Nifkei Bereisha. Now Rabbi Elazar says, let's divide the head. Amalei, so the worker says to Rabbi Elazar, I don't understand. Hashta Kimikara Namiloi. When I was only your worker and I didn't put any money into the business, I got the whole head. And now, I'm getting only half the head. Doesn't make any sense. Amalei, so Rabbi Elazar told him, Adi Idna, until now, Zuzi Didi Havi. I put in the entire money, you put in the labor. And therefore, as we have been learning, Ilo Yahav Nechot Tvei Purta, If I won't designate an extra part to give you as wages, we have the issue of Mechzik Rebs. However, Heshter, now we're regular partners. Shutvanon. You're going to say we're not regular partners because we both put in money. But you not only put in money, you also put in labor, which Rabbi Elazar says, I didn't put in any labor. That's not counted. My Karam, because what is your argument? Trachten Tfei Porta, that you ought to put in some labor? Amri Inchi, people understand, Stamaris Lamar Arakum Shavu L'Nafshei, L'Sui L'Raya, that the worker is always prepared to do a little extra, even though if you and I are partners, and you do the work, and I just put in the money, you're not going to be bothered to put in a little more extra, because it's your business that's going to improve, and we divide it 50-50. Says the Gemara, Tana Abonim, Hassan Behem L'Chaveri. We go back to our ISK arrangement, where I supply the animal, and you supply the work. Ask the Gemara, Ad Masa Chayel Tapaba. How long does the arrangement go on for? Sumchus Oyma, Basoynis, Shmoynas, Esri Chodesh, by donkeys for 18 months, and Rishonim explained that 18 months is if the animal was given over to the worker at the day it was born. The Gaidrois, by small animals, Chof Dalet Chodesh, 24 months. Vimbor Lachlik B'toich Zmanoi, if one of the partners wants to dissolve the partnership before the 18 months or before the 20 months, Chaveri Makavlov, the other partner could disagree. Avil, says the Gemara, Ain adayim tepula shashana zu lo tepula shashana acheres. You can't compare the work of the first year to the second year. Tani, ask the Gemara, my avil, what does the Gemara mean with avil? Says the Gemara, ela fisha ain adayim tepula shashana zu lo tepula shashana acheres. And Rashi says two pshatim. I'm going to tell you the pshat that Rashi prefers. Rashi says like this: if you and I become partners, the case that we've been discussing, the ISK arrangement, where I supply the money and you supply the labor. And the Gemara just said, by small animals, the partnership is 24 months. Says the Gemara that, let's say after a year, you come along and you say, I want to dissolve the partnership. I could say, I'm not ready to agree. Why am I not ready to agree? Because taking care of the animal the second year is much more complicated than taking care of the animal the first year. So now, when the work gets tougher, now you're ready to dissolve the partnership, I could say it's unacceptable to me. And this Gemara is the basis for a very important psak halacha that the Machna Ephraim and the Prisha say. We've discussed many times, the Gemara says it in a number of places, that as far as workers' rights, the halacha is that if I hire a worker for a day, the worker could walk out of the job in the middle of the day, and let's say I hired him for 8 hours, and he worked 4 hours, and I agreed to pay him $100 for the day, let's say, I have to pay him half the wages. But I can't stop him from walking out of the job. Says the Machna Ephraim, when is that then applicable in a situation where the work in the afternoon and the work in the morning is all the same? So if you did half the job, you're allowed to walk out half the job, and I have to pay you half your salary. But let's say I hired you for a whole day's work. But the work in the afternoon is harder than the work in the morning. So you'll say in the middle of the day, I'm walking out, and you have to give me half the salary. Al Gemara says that the only time you could dissolve a partnership is when there's no difference between the second year and the first year. But if the second year is tougher than the first year, you can't dissolve it after the first year. Similarly, the worker can't walk out of the job after the first half a day by saying, I'm walking out half the job and give me half my salary. Tanyidach. Hasan Behem L'Chaveroi. If somebody gets into this type of iska relationship with his animals, and Masa Chayel of Tapel, how long do you have to work with the animal? Bevlodis, with the children, how long? In other words, now we go a step further. We got into this iska relationship. And the iska relationship is that I give you the animal, and the proceeds, we share. What does it mean when we say we proceeds, we share? That the babies that are born will share. So now a child is born. The question is, at what point is the child considered already old enough that we should start dividing it and that you, the worker, don't have to take care of the children itself? says the Braisa, Bedaka, by Behema Daka, it's Lamajoyim, by Behema Gas says Nunyoyim. And in fact, when Rishonim say, what is the source for 30 days or 50 days? Because the Halach is that by Behema Daka, Bechor, you only give it to the Kayin when it's 30 days old, by Gas, you give it to him when he's 50 days old. Rabbi Yoisheimer, Bedaka, Gimel Chadoshim, 30 days is inadequate, you need 3 months, Neshish Tepula Meruba. It takes a lot of work. What does it mean with Tepula Meruba? Neshish Shina Dakois. It has very small teeth, and therefore it can't eat itself. It needs to be fed. Mikan Ve'eluch. Now, so let's go through this situation, says the Gemara. We got into an iska arrangement. I gave you the mother. They had a baby. So for the first 30 or 50 days or whatever, you have to continue taking care of the baby. Now it's 30 days old, the baby 50 days old. So what should happen is that we should divide the baby, the profits. Mikan ve'eluch, noit l'machzis shaloi. Now let's say I don't come to take my half. And you, the worker, have to continue working with the baby. So says the Gemara, it's considered a new business arrangement, even though we didn't formally go through it. And you deserve half of the animal, which is yours, and another half of mine, because you're taking care of my half. And therefore you'll end up with 3/4 of the animal. Mikan ve'eluch, you the worker, if I didn't come take my half, noitel mechze shaloi, v'chatzim mechatzim shal chaver, and half of my half, which gives you 3/4 of the babies. Ramash ve'gadol, and says the Gemara, that it's indeed what once happened, shachol mechze shaloi, u'chatzim mechze b'chashal chaveri, another half of my half. Also kamei d'abaya, man pa'olach, you can't divide it on your own, v'oid, makon shenagol gadolhu. This was a place where they don't necessarily immediately divide the babies. V'tanan, and the Mishnah is going to teach us that makam shenagol gadol, if there is no specific, if the minig is that the worker has to raise the babies, he can't say that I want to divide it, rather he's obligated to raise the children. Yagdil. Says the Gemara, hanetrei kutoi. And as Rishonim explained, usually when the Gemara says kuti, means a kuti, they're not treated as Jews. Here we actually had 2 Jews that lived in the land of Kuta. Says the Gemara, the Ovid Iskar Bahadodi. They entered into an Iskar arrangement, but the Iskar arrangement was with money. That means I supplied the money, and you supplied the knowledge, the work, and we're going to, and you'll invest that money, and we'll divide the profits with the losses, chas v'shalom. Ozel chad menayu, so one of them went, polak zuzi b'loidat d'chavri. He dissolved the partnership without notifying the other one. Also came to Rapapa. They came to Rapapa, and Amalei my nafkamina. He has every right to dissolve the partnership, because Hacha Amar of Nachman Zuzi commanded Pal Gedami. When it comes to money, you don't need any great expert to divide the money. $100 is 2 times 50. It's very easy to divide. Now says the Gemara, another incident with these 2 same partners. L'shana Zavan Chamer Bahade Adadi. These 2 partners bought wine together. Kon idach palaglei b'loidate d'chavrei. So again, now was the other partner. Last year, let's say, it was partner 1 that divided it. This year was partner 2 that divided it without consulting with his partner. And again, David Din Torah. Osla kamedu rapapa, amalei palaglach. How do you divide it without your partner's consent? Amalei kuchazin in the bus of the di kasamar. I see you're against me. Last year, when my partner divided it without my permission, you said it's fine. This year, when I divided it without my partner's permission, you're saying I didn't have a right to do it. I see you have it in for me. Amar Papa, Kai Gavna, Vadit Sarach Lidui. On such circumstances, I have to notify them the basis for my reasoning. And the Rishonim go into discussing this, we're going to discuss this more with Shem Sechta Sanhedrin. The halacha is as follows. People don't know this, but the halacha is if you go to Din Torah on a Din Mamnis, and Bezdin doesn't have to give a reason for its psak. You can't demand Bezdin justify their position. Only you could ask Bezdin to give you how they view what happened. In other words, let's say you and I are in Din Torah. The only thing, according to the halacha, the Gemara says, Masechta Sanhedrin, is that either one of us could demand to give us how Bezdin understood the sequence of events. And there we could perhaps argue that Bezdin got the sequence of events wrong. But the basis of their psak, we can't force Bezdin to give. There's even a machloikis rishonim that even demanding the sequence of events, do I always have a right to ask? Certainly if it's a Bezdin choshev, I don't have a right to demand the sequence of events. And furthermore, some rishonim suggest that if both of us worked into the Din Torah willingly, we have no right to ask, either party has no right to ask for the sequence of events. Only if one of the parties was forced to attend the Din Torah, when Bezdin had that authority, can they demand the sequence of events. Here, says Rav Papa, even though normally the halacha doesn't require a Bezdin to give more than the sequence of events, here, Bezdin does have to explain its position. Why? Because there's a concept of Yisim Nekim Hashem Yisrael. Anybody looking at these stories has a very hard time understanding what Rav Papa did. Every time, it's the same person losing the Din Torah. And Rav Papa has an obligation to be above any accusation. So here, Vadei Tzarch Ledui, I have to explain myself. In fact, there's a beautiful vart from the Taz. The Taz says, the Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, if there will be a dispute, they'll come to me, and I will judge them, and I will explain to them as a mishpatim, the rules. Says the Taz, what's Pshat the Pasuk saying? Didn't we just say that the dying is not obligated to explain himself? And here it says, I'll explain myself. It says, these individuals had a Din Torah. V'shvatim v'nishlachav, and I already judged the Din Torah in the favor of one against the other. And now they have another Din Torah, and it's the same person that keeps on losing. V'datim, then I have to, like Rav Papa, explain myself why this person keeps on losing. So Rav Papa explains himself. Zuzi mishakol tavi v'shak v'chasri. If the partnership is only around cash, so cash, there's no good cash, there's no bad cash. You divide the money, 50-50. Chamra, but when you're dealing with wine, that they entered into a business deal, that they bought barrels of wine, kula al miyada de ikka de basa vikim de loy basam. Not all barrels of wine are equal in value. And therefore, one partner can't dissolve the partnership without consulting the other partner. Say to Rishonim, if according to this, let's say the entire partnership was with one barrel of wine, so there is no issue that this barrel may be better than the next barrel, then the halacha would be that even on a barrel of wine, one partner can dissolve the partnership without consulting with the other partner. And says the Gemara, Gufa, Amar Rav Nachman, Zuzi commanded Pligidami. All money is always considered like it's already divided. But as we've said so many times, in those days, money isn't like nowadays. A dollar bill is a dollar bill, and a quarter is a quarter. In those days, money had intrinsic value. And as the Mefarshim explained, there were two parts in evaluating the value of a coin. One was the weight of the coin, how much metal there was there. And another element was the tsura on the coin. Some coins were more usable than others. So says the Gemara, if our partnership in cash is all the same type of coin, tavi v'tavi, good coins, or tkuli v'tkuli, or bad coins. So it's very easy to dissolve that partnership, and one partner doesn't have to consult with the other partner. Av tavi tkuli, if the coins that are this partnership are good coins or bad coins, then again, one partner can't dissolve the partnership without the other, because even though each coin has a value, and the better coins are more valuable than the bad coins, sometimes a person, dafka, wants a heavier coin because he wants to put the coins away for a long time. And sometimes a person, dafka, wants a coin that has a better tsura because he's going to be traveling. And therefore, one partner can't dissolve it. If not all of the coins are uniform, you can't dissolve it one without the other. Says the Gemara. Interesting Gemara. Rav Chama have a mug of zuzi b'pshita. B'yayimah. Rav Chama wanted to come up with a way of getting ribbis. So he says, we know, and we're going to be discussing this at length in the coming sugyas. Just because ribbis is asr doesn't mean you're not allowed to rent something for profit. That's a business. If I own a house, I own anything, and I rent it, and that's how I make a profit, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with renting. There's a problem of lending on ribbis. So Rav Chama came up with an interesting approach. Rav Chama said, I'm not going to lend money. You're not allowed to lend money on ribbis. I'm going to rent money. I rent you the money, and you have to pay me rent. Rav Chama have a maigazuzah b'pshita b'yayim. He said, you have to pay me a coin as rental fee for renting my money. Says the Gemara, kol azuzah d'Rav Chama. We know the punishment for chas b'sholem, somebody violating this ribbis, is that the person loses his money. And that's what happened to Rav Chama. So as far as mask, you know, we're not talking about an individual who was not an observant Jew. We're talking about Rav Chama. What was Rav Chama thinking? So one pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that Rav Chama thought that using the word schiris, just saying that it's a rental, not a loan, is good enough. But many mefarshim are very don't accept that. You know, you could call anything you want, but that's not what it is. So they say pshat in the Gemara is that what is the difference between a rental and a loan? One of the fundamental differences between a rental and a loan is if I lend you money and you lose all the money, it's not my business. You have to give me back the money I lent you. If I rent you something and there's an oinus, we spoke about this, or we will speak about this, there's an oinus that happens to the item that I rent you, you don't have your potter. Rav Chama was willing to accept that. Rav Chama was willing to accept that if he rented the money, and if something happened to the money while it was by you, an oinus beyond your control, you'd be potter. And that Rav Chama thought was enough to make this transaction to be considered a rental versus a loan. It's not true. Whenever money is not rentable, money is lent. Why? Says the Gemara. The Rav Chama, who suffered, Rav Chama's thinking was, Maishna Memara. Why is renting money different than renting a shovel? But says the Gemara Valahi, Rav Chama was wrong for two reasons. Mara hadribeina. If I rent you a shovel, you have to return that very shovel. If I lend you money, you don't have to give me back the same coins. You're not expected to give me back the same coins. Otherwise, why'd you take it? You want to use it. Furthermore, the yidei pechse, a rental item depreciates. Zuzi, on the other hand, lo hadribeinayu, you don't give me back the same money that I lent you. And furthermore, v'lo yada pechse, money doesn't depreciate. And the Machlokes Rishonim, the Gemara has identified two differences between money and everything else. One is that you don't get back the same money, and number two, when you rent something, it depreciates. So the Rishonim debate, do you have to be considered a rental, do you have to have both qualities, that you don't get back the same item and it depreciates, that you get back the same item and it depreciates, or either one characteristic is enough to be considered a rental. What's the nafkamina? So Taisha says, let's say I rent to you jewelry. So Taisha says, jewelry, you give me back the same jewelry, but jewelry doesn't depreciate. Because you don't really use jewelry for work with. So if you need both characteristics, you would not be allowed to rent jewelry for a profit. If you need only one characteristic, you get back the same jewelry you rented, and it would be mutter to take profit for it. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Sharele Inish Lameim Lechavri. A person may tell somebody else, Hey Lechtel Zuzi, this is very important Gemara here, Halacha, I'm allowed to tell you, take some money, I'm allowed to tell you, here I'm giving you some money, for Oisvei Leplanya Zuzi. And because I gave you money, now you should lend money to someone else. Because, says the Gemara, Loyasu Tyre El Ribis Abba Malaiva Lamalva. Ribis is only when the loiva gives it directly to the malva. Here, it's not the loiva giving it to the malva, it's another person giving the money to the malva. Says Rava, Bam Rava Sharlay Lenish Lameim Lechavri, a person's allowed to tell somebody else, Shokaloch Abizuzi, here, take some money, the Omale Lepleni Laosvinzuzi. And for that, tell somebody else to lend money. My Tama, Schar Mir Kashakal. Here, what am I telling you? I know you have influence in someone else. So I give you money, and for that I ask you to use your influence to get somebody to lend money. So here we have a very interesting machlokes. In both of these cases, the loiver has not given the shliach any money. What will be the halacha if the loiver, I come to you, and I give you money with the intention that you should now use your influence or use some money to get the malva to lend me money? So it's machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say it's osur midraisa. Other rishonim say it's only osur midrabbanan. And other rishonim say that's mutter, because nothing's going from the loiva to the malva, and therefore it's mutter. In fact, there's a Ramah, and the Ramah is a fascinating Ramah, because the Ramah says we shouldn't publicize it, what he's saying. Ribbis, says the Ramah, is only from the loiva to the malva. So if there's a third party in middle, that I give you ribbis, and you give it to the malva, there won't be an issa of ribbis, says the Ramah. Says the Gemara. Kiha, Dava Mara Berei de Rapapa, have a shukul ugna de kar mikroi. This son of Rapapa would take wax from the wax manufacturers, the Malay Lavua, and because they paid him off, he would tell his father, Zvinizuzi, you should lend money to these individuals. So he took money to use his influence. Amla Rabbanu Rapapa, Achma Berei Revisa. Your son is getting ribbis by taking this money. Amalus Rapapa said, "Kol Taygaver Revisa Nachal." This is not considered ribbis. For Lo Asra Taira El Ribbis Habor Meloiva LaMalva. Ribbis is only when the loiva gives money to the malva. Hocha Smar Amira Kashaka. He's not taking it. The malva is not getting any ribbis. His son is getting money to use his influence, and therefore it's shari. However, the Rishonim make 2 points. One point they make more. We'll say all of it two. One point that they make is that it's only if the son is financially independent. But let's say your son lives by you and you support him. And now your son gets paid to use his influence to get you to lend money on ribbis. That's asur. Some Rishonim say that even if your son doesn't live off you, but he's a katan, it would be asur. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out that all these cases that we just learned that it's mutter, is only in a circumstance, say the Rishonim, that the ribbit, that the ma, that you're getting you got money to influence the malva to get money, to lend money. But it's not tied to the loan. Not that the money you're getting is tied to the value of the loan or to the length of the loan or what we would know as interest. Says the Mishnah. Shalom par v'chamov v'kaldovish oisav v'oichal l'mechtza. Here, we go back to what we've been discussing. An ISCA arrangement, as we said at the beginning of this year, a crucial element of an ISCA arrangement is that the person who gets the money gets paid a salary. But let's say the thing that I'm giving for an ISCA arrangement is an animal that you could work with. That is your salary, that you work with the animal. Then we just divide the profit and the loss, and working with the animal is your wage. Says the Gemara, as we quoted this Mishnah earlier, in the place where the minigas that divide the children immediately, we divide them. That the worker has to raise the proceeds, the children, yagdilu. If you got the mother, the child comes along automatically, and you don't get a separate wage for the child. And the last thing, which the Gemara is going to explain immediately, on Mafras Asadeyu, Venim Chashim Shemribis. What is Mafras Asadeyu? Explains the Gemara immediately. Tanar Rabbanan. Mafras Asadeyu, Venim Chashim Shemribis. What does that mean? Ketzad. Hasoichas Asad Mechaveroi. If I rent a field from you, and I agree to pay you as a rental fee, Asar Kurum Chitim. 10 kor of wheat, Lashana, on an annual basis. Vaimer. And now I tell you, besides that I rented this property for you, and we agreed on a rental fee, I ask you, tell me, I need $200, but for Sena, so that I could have money to invest into the field, and because you lend me this money, I'll up the rental fee. And the way Rashi explains it, I have to give you back the $200, and I'm also upping the rental fee. That is mutter. Why is it mutter? So the Rishonim explain, Because we're making the property more valuable. And since we're making the property more valuable, you deserve a better rent. Aval, Eimafriz Loyal Chanus V'Loyal Sfina. What does that mean? That let's say I rent from you a ship, or I rent from you an animal, I rent from you a store, and I say, now I also want to borrow money from you to put into the store or into the ship. That, you can't say, is to make the rental property more valuable, and therefore the rent should be greater, and I'm not allowed to do it. However, comments the Gemara, comments Rabbi Baravua, Amr Baravua, Pamish Shemafis Al-Khanuz, sometimes taking an investment can be considered making the rental property better. Lots of Batsura. Let's say I want to take the money to paint the store, to make it more attractive. Svina Lassus Baskaria, to put on a mast. Chanos, lots of Batsura. So if you make a store more attractive, the Tzavabai Incher, so more people are going to come, Vagre Tfei, so I owe you more rent. Svina Lassus Baskaria, a boat to make a mast. Kivin Shpir Iskaria, if it's a better mast, it's a better boat. Tfei Ag. Then I deserve to pay you more rent. And therefore will be treated like the field that by lending me the money, I have to pay you the money back, and I have to pay you more, I could agree to pay a better rental fee.